Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on every weekday evening and weekend at either 6:30, 8 o'clock, 9:30, 10 or 11. And I'm very happy to present this show and to talk about the things that I think are important to me and to other people, I think. But let me say that what the topic for tonight is, why no thought and why no debate? These are very obvious issues in our present society. There is a lack of thought, public thought, in our society. In fact, people may not think about things at all, or they may not have time. And also, there's a lack of intellectual interchange or debate. I think it's a problem, and I'm going to get into it. But in the next few minutes, I'm going to talk about the parameters of this show. There are three basic point parameters of this show. I have a great interest in literature and books, very great interest in literature and books. I have a great desire to read, and I think that books are the mode of communication of knowledge still. I don't think that knowledge is effectively communicated by screens, by movies, or by computers, or by television. As Mortimer Adler said in his very great book, How to Read a Book, he said, these are drugs. We are passive recipients that tune in and out of these drugs that are thrust on us. We learn nothing from them. We gain nothing. We concentrate and focus on nothing when they are presented to us. But I do have a great literary interest in writers like Kipling and E.M. Forster and the great English poets Keats, Shelley, and Byron, and many others that I can name, which I don't have the time to name, particularly John Milton, one of my all-time favorite writers, and E.M. Forster, the author of A Passage to India, a very great, great book, as well as Howard's End, another great book by E.M. Forster. So let me talk that I'm a Christian, and I believe in the parameters of the Christian faith, and I believe in the full authority of Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. I think every word is true. Every word comes from the mind and being of God. And I adhere to the creeds of the Church, Nicene, Athanasian, and Apostles' Creed. And I don't deviate from my belief in following those creeds. And I also read Christian books, such as C.S. Lewis, T.S. Eliot, John Bunyan, and many others. That is where I'm coming from in a general way in this show. Now I want to talk about what I think is the points of significance as I presented in this show. This show is a politically incorrect show. We are not in for political rhetoric, media lies, media falsehoods. We engage in critical thinking that lead us to truth and facts. We're interested in honest discernment and intellectual honesty and getting at the facts and truth. We are not interested in political rhetoric, political lies, and things like that, which are only points of confusion and make fools of us all when we listen to them and are affected by them. Next, I have two radio shows, a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and these have visitors from all over the world. My podcast show has had over 4,300 visitors, and my blog talk radio show has had many visitors from Muslim countries, as does my podcast show. Many of my dear Muslim brethren and Hindu and Buddhist brethren listen to these shows, I'm pleased to say. Of course, I am a Christian, and I'm very concerned that Jesus be heard. And for all these faiths, I see the face of Jesus who died for all men. They are Christians for me, but they deserve great love and respect. because Jesus chose to die for them, whatever their faith was. He still died for them and gave up his life for them and forgave them as he's forgiven me for my shortcomings. Next, I have written 10 books, Christian and legal books. Christian books are essays in the Christian worldview, essays on faith, culture, politics, and philosophy. A book on the parables, which interprets all 41 parables. I have to say, the parables are terrible important because they represent the mind and thought of God and Christ as he speaks in many instances in these parables. They're fantastic, they're interesting, and they are the thought of Christ and his mind. Next, I've written a book recently on the Psalms, my analysis of all 150 Psalms, and I do hope that this book has provided some help to people. I love the Psalms. I read them in Hebrew, partially some of them, in seminary, and I read the English King James version of the Psalms in the Bible. And the Psalms are great spiritual guides, and they are great lyric poetry. They are irreplaceable, and I challenge you, as I challenged you before, that if you're going to read something in a translation, and it's going to come across, you're going to read the Psalms 100 times more likely than a translation of War and Peace or Dostoevsky's Crime and Punishment. Those books are great, but the Psalms come across in any context, in any place. They're great. They are great lyric poetry. They are beautiful lyric poetry, and they are spiritual food for all men and women who choose to listen to and read to them. Next, I'm writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I haven't finished it, partially written it. I'm writing four books of blogs, a political, literary, theological, and philosophical. Four books of blogs I'm writing, and I hope they'll soon be published. And I'm writing a book on the book of Job at some point. Job is a great book. He's an Edomite that was tried by God and passed these trials. And he was not Jewish, but he's right there in the Hebrew Bible canon. And it's a great book. It's worth reading 100 times. Because anything in the Bible has to be read and grasped 100, 200 times before the full impact of the biblical revelation is caught and understood. I've written other books, a book called Res Gestae on evidence, a book on New York jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia on criminal law, demands, trials, and demands and notices. I've written a chapter on paternity in New York family law and practice. And I've written three very extensive journal articles on Academicus, a Albanian scientific journal, two on the educational system in the United States, and on sexual orientation and discrimination. And these journal articles have been bought by the State Department and many, many other universities throughout the world in every place you can imagine. Whether North America, South America, Africa, or Asia, wherever there you will find that journal or those journal articles being bought. Finally, I have written on the Syracuse Law Review a journal article on criminal procedure, which has also been bought by the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. And I'm pleased to say that many universities throughout the world have also bought this journal article, in addition to the two of Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. Next, I'd like to talk about is the matter of why no thought and why no debate. I have taken note of our society at this point, and there is no intellectual interchange, or it's very minimal. Possibly in the academic sector, there still is thought processes which are exchanged. But in the world today, there is no thought. Now, how can we explain this in a society as complex and involved and thoughtful as our society, whether in medicine or or in computers, why is there no thought interchange? Well, I can name a number of reasons. People don't have time. They're so pressured by the society just to survive. They don't have time to give their thoughts or even develop their thoughts. Second, their educational system is so poor that the ability to creatively think and exchange views is very difficult. Third, I have to say this, people do not read books. When you don't read books, you can't think. There is no thought process. You may be able to work a computer, or you may be able to watch a movie or watch television or engage in these passive activities, but you will not be able to think. Thinking is something of people like John Stuart Mill was a thinker and had a classical education which enabled him to do that thinking. Bertrand Russell was another thinker. These were the great thought processes of the past. Where are these people now? Why is it nobody pays any attention to them? If you look at television, there used to be shows like Alan Burke and Firing Line where there was a great deal of thought exchange and ideas. Today there are no thought exchange and no ideas. The question is, what is the reason? I can give you a number of reasons. People don't have time. They're too pressured. Their minds are filled with propaganda and lies, and they're unable to sift or use their thoughts. In some way, they're unable to use their minds because of the society is so confused. And so I give you some reasons. The reasons why there's no thought and no debate is, number one, the absence of print, of books. When people don't read, they can't develop their thoughts. Their thoughts remain unknown and unexpressed. So it's a lack of print, the print medium, that I think has resulted in this no thought and no debate. Second, people are too pressured in their lives to be able to think about anything but survival. Number three, they are yelled at and screamed at with various slogans. Could be racism. Could be, that's one slogan. It could be that books are a waste of time and everything has to be modern. Whatever the reason, the lack of print as a communication device has resulted in this lack of thought and debate. There is no print. There are no books. People don't read books. Or if they read books, they're of a simple character. And so their lives are extremely circumscribed intellectually. So I'll give you some reasons. The lack of books, not reading books. Number two, their lives are too pressured to be able to think about anything. Number three, their lives are put in a position of hearing slogans, racism, propaganda, 1984, whatever, Animal Farm. These are the kind of things that are going on. And the fact of the matter is, it is obvious that there is no thought. Thinking is a scarce commodity in our society. People don't think because they don't have time, or they are not inclined, or they think it's a waste of time. They're only concerned with money. That's another factor. This emphasis on money takes away from thought. There's no sense in thought if it doesn't bring money. So I give you several reasons they don't have time. They're the subject of propaganda on a constant basis. Books are no longer read. The print medium has declined, and those are some of the reasons why there's no thought and no debate. Just some of the reasons. I've given you some reasons. No print, no books, propaganda, slogans, lies, and the other reasons I gave you was most of all, the main reason is the absence of books and print. Where people don't read books, their minds atrophy. They die. They can't think. It's only in reading great books and good books that people are able to develop their intellectual faculties. In the absence of books, there will be an absence of thought. It's obvious. There is an absence of thought now, and there's an absence of thought for a long time. Finally, another reason is the emphasis on money. Our society is completely focused on money, and therefore people see no sense in thought processes. Well, they don't have any thought processes. They're only concerned with money. That's the main reason. Money, propaganda, lack of print, lack of books, etc. These are some of the reasons for the present situation, for the lack of thought and lack of debate. It's very bad when people can't think. Let me say this. When people can't think and can't express their thoughts, our society will be obtained. People will obtain power through political mechanisms, so people will not be paying attention on the thought processes of what's going on. And when they can't think, political forces take over, and we have the world of Animal Farm in 1984. That's what's going to happen if this continues, where there's no thought and no debate. I gave you some reasons for no thought and no debate: lack of books, propaganda, slogans. That's some of the reasons. Print mechanism being decimated, and not reading great books such as Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained and John Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress. Without reading these great books, our ability to think decimates. I gave you some reasons for this ability to think and no debate: no books, propaganda, the money culture, where a culture is focused on money, where there is no room for thought. Where there's no room for thought, at that point, political forces can easily take over and a totalitarian system can emerge and take over. Where there is no thought. There's no thought where there's money only. There's no thought where there's propaganda only. There's no thought where there's no books. These are all reasons, very good reasons, for why our society is thoughtless and without interchange or debate. Just a few years ago, if you look back, there were many television shows of interchange and debate and thought. Today, there are none. I regret this. I'm scared. I'm afraid of what can happen when totalitarian political forces are able to move in, as is very likely could happen, where there is no thought. Where there's only money, where there's only propaganda, where there's only no books, there will be, and there can only be, no thought. Without books, there is no thought, because people can't think without reading. If they don't read, they can't think. Those are the facts. That's my opinion. I gave it, and that's my firm opinion. Without books, there is no thinking. Without reading books, there is no thinking. I suggest you listen to what I say, ladies and gentlemen, and make sure that your kids read and understand this system and what's going on and not be manipulated into a totalitarian system. Good night.